The scripture reading for today is found in Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. You can also find that in the bulletin. Follow along as I read if you care. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. May God's word be understood and shared by us all.
It's interesting where the inspiration for sermons come from. Some weeks it's pretty easy flowing. It's sort of like a big bright light standing in front of you, and it's easy to talk about and describe. And other times it's sort of like going through a dim room looking for a contact lens. And then there's other times, and this is one of those other times, where I can stand up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and I can confidently look out and say, God has been bugging me. And let me tell you about this, because this is where the sermon starts today, that God has been bugging me. You've probably noticed that in recent weeks I've retreated to the pulpit, whereas I used to wander around. And this has nothing to do with you guys, so don't worry, you haven't pushed me back. This has more to do with things that have come forth in my prayer life and things that God has pushed me to do. And sort of the aha moment came when I read about what a special weekend this is in terms of church history. Almost exactly 400 years ago, the King James Version of the Bible was published. And this is it's a special anniversary. Now, the King James was not the first Bible published. That honor belongs to the Gutenberg Bible, which was published in Germany in the 1450s. There were also two English versions before the King James. But in terms of impact and coverage, the King James has gone further and reached more people over the last 400 years than virtually any other translation of the Bible. It opened doors. It's contributed to the salvation of who knows how many souls, only God knows. But it's a book that has had deep, deep influence on every facet of our lives. For example, let's take a few everyday forms of speech here. We're all familiar with the statement that we're at our wit's end. Something's just driving us so crazy, we're at our wit's end. Now, I know we've got some Bible scholars in the pews today. Does anybody remember what Bible verse that comes out of? Psalm 107, verse 27. If we say that we've escaped by the skin of our teeth, that's in Job chapter 19. To compliment someone and to say that there's a salt of the earth, that's from one of Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 5. And if we say that something's a thorn in our flesh, or maybe these days we're more likely to hear something like a burr under our saddle, all that goes back to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, whereas he's talking about this malady that he's experiencing, and he asks God to take it away, but God says no. And so Paul gives thanks for it. And the point of all of this is that even if you're a person who does not read the Bible very much, you have still been affected by it. The Bible is part of the fabric of who we are. The Bible is part of the fabric of this world. And even the people who aren't religious know about the Bible. The Word of God is throughout creation. Since this first printing of the King James Bible in 1611, it's amazing how far this Bible has gone. The complete Bible has been published and translated and published in more than 450 languages over the last 400 years. The New Testament alone, because sometimes we share New Testaments instead of the whole Bible, the New Testament has been put into over 1,400 languages. The Gospel of Mark alone, and I don't know why they've picked on Mark over the other Gospels, but the Gospel of Mark alone has been published in more than 2,370 languages. And so what this means, thanks to the efforts of Bible distributors over the last four centuries, 90% of humanity has access to the Word of God, many in their native language. BibleStudy.org says that as of 2007, since the first Bible was published in the 1400s, there's probably about 7.5 billion Bibles that have been printed and distributed. And about 100,000 gets added to that number every year. So another thing we can say is that the Bible is important to a lot of people. The Bible is a book of influence. And there's a lot of Bibles out there. Now here comes the part where God was bugging me. According to some studies, the average American home has somewhere between 3 and 8 Bibles. Last year, the American Bible Society conducted a poll or a survey to find out how well people knew their Bibles. There was a quote on poverty that was in this survey, and the majority of those who were surveyed attributed it to such persons as our president, the Dalai Lama, or Oprah, or Bono, the singer for the band U2. And that highlights an issue. We are very good Bible owners, but we aren't good Bible readers. And this bugs me. Now, I'll admit, and you'll hear about this over the years as we get to know each other more and more, but I'll admit my coming to Jesus was a pretty dramatic thing. I was at a pretty low point in my life, and about the only one who could pull me out of that pit was God. So the Bible has been very important to me on a very personal level. But most people, at least according to the survey, don't read the Bible enough to know that you can find out answers on pretty much anything critical that's going on in our world. Life's most relevant questions about poverty or economics, ethics, revolution, romance, even some adventure. It's in the Bible. If the people of the church don't know the difference between Bono and Jesus, how will we ever communicate God's truth accurately? The Bible is our book. Now, it's not the only thing that we read. There are other God-inspired teachers in the Christian tradition, and they're very helpful. But they're no substitute for the Bible. They're no substitute for the book of the church. No substitute for batteries either, I guess. There we go. The Bible's meant to be read. The Bible is a book for everyday life. And so as a way to wrap up why God has been bugging me and what I'm going to do about it, that and part of this has to go being back in the pulpit, I've decided to adjust my preaching for you some, to do a little more teaching as I preach. Now, this won't be like getting double Sunday school or anything, But I think it's good for us all to have a close look at the Word and how it's going to apply to our daily living. Because we're supposed to be Bible readers and not just Bible owners. And part of the pulpit is that I'm not carrying my notes anymore. I decided I'd use manuscript instead so I don't forget what I want to say, which happens sometimes. The Bible is God's Word for everyday life. And so that means that we have to consider, what does it mean to take the Word of God seriously? What does it mean to have the Bible as something that makes a difference in our everyday life? Well, let's start by going to the Bible. Consider this question right from what we've read today, and we're in Psalm 119, and we started at verse 9. This starts with a question: how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer follows immediately after that, by living according to your word. But then we have to answer a question, you know, what is it about living according to a word? You know, which word is this word? This is where you learn some of the fun things about English versus Hebrew. The word that we translate into word is dabar in Hebrew, which is a really interesting word, because here's a difference. In English, we have words for everything. So I might take my remote and I might throw it out to one of you in the pews. I've used a word for an action. I can use a word to describe things. But in Hebrew, there's no difference between words and actions. And this is an important thing to learn, because now when we look at our Bible and we think about words, it makes sense when we look at the book of Genesis. And it says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, God used a word, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke and light was created, followed by water and sky and dry land and all the earth's creatures. If you say something, things happen. And so to say that we're living and treasuring God's word means, if anything else, we're living according to what God says. And when God gives us his word, he helps us become the people that we've been created to be. When God speaks, it means life. It means life for me. It means life for you. It means life for all of creation. When God speaks, life happens. When God speaks, his intentions are revealed. From Isaiah chapter 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The word of God always accomplishes the purposes of God. What is God's purpose? Again, we turn to the Word. The Word of God says, in the beginning, now I am going to throw this out to you. I'm in John chapter 1, verse 1. When you get a second, Brad, if you can take over manual control. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. You see, there's God's purpose. God spoke, and he came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ in human form. And he lived among us to show us the power and the grace of our Creator. He came as a human embodiment of his will and also his way. God's word was among us. God's will shapes us as the children of God. And so this is where we are, that God's word shapes us. God's word helps us become who it is that we're to be. And God's word brings us forward. And so now we're... Yeah, next one, please. Let's go one... Yeah, one more. Thanks. And so we come back to our reading for today, which explains the response of the psalmist. With my whole heart I seek you. Don't let me stray from your commandments. These commandments of God are meant for every day. They're meant for Sunday morning when we gather to worship the Lord and to be together. They're for Sunday afternoon when we've gone home to be with our families, or perhaps we're going to a ball game or something like that. God's word is for tomorrow morning when we've gone back to the grind and we're into the office or wherever it is we happen to earn our living. God's word is for us on Wednesday afternoon and Friday night at happy hour. You know, where they sell root beer 2-for-1. They're designed to be with us always. When we look forward with the anticipation that God fills us with his word, we can trust that God will keep his promises that he's made through Jesus and through all of his prophets. Okay, let's go to the reading from Jeremiah. One of the words that the prophet Jeremiah brought to the people of God was that God would be putting his word in their hearts and in their minds. I will put my law within them and I will write it in their hearts and I will be their God and they will be my people. That's us. And if we didn't have this book of the church, how would we know these beautiful things? I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And you might be surprised how much of your Bible you know, even though you might not think about it much. And the point of having all of this within us is that this then shapes our priorities for living. This is what gives us our identity as the people of Jesus. When we go out to share our faith with other people, this is the basis from which we come. With the law of God within us, with the law of God written on our hearts, we have an intimacy with God that we would not have otherwise. This is what gives us an advantage when we're struggling with one sort of sin or another. Our attitude with God's word is one of forward-looking, of hope, and of anticipation. The word of God makes us more loving and more faithful people. Back to our reading in Psalm 119 again, we're on verses 14 and 16 now. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways and delight in your statutes and will not forget your word. I will not forget what you have done for us, O God. And if you want to link this up to Jesus, who's the reason why we're here today, if you turn forward into Matthew chapter 6, Jesus made a very telling statement. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Jesus said, you can gain the whole world, yet lose your soul. And this is really what having the Word in your heart comes down to. Because there's a great danger in storing up treasures on this earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. Because they're not lasting. But the Word of God is forever. Thus saith the Lord. Is your treasure an SUV? Is it a flat screen wall mounted home theater? Diamond bracelet from Tiffany? I'm safe on that count. I can't afford Tiffany. But I got to watch it when I'm looking at computer equipment and music gear. If these things are your treasures, you'll relentlessly pursue them. They will fill your dreams. They will commandeer your desires. And you might even attain them. But what are you going to lose in the process? It's better to delight in God's decrees. It's better to embrace the promises that God has made in this psalm, because this is the way of true peace in life. This is the way that we have everlasting joy, not just tomorrow, but also today. By making God's Word our treasure, we put our hearts at peace. Little history note from the King James is that King James, when he commissioned this translation of the Scriptures, wanted the King James authorized version to be a book that would help bring peace within his land. Because in those days, it was not peaceful in terms of Christianity, because we had conflict between the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church. There was conflict between the Church of England and the Reformers. We know some of them by their names of Calvinists or Puritans. Those are some of the folks that had a hand in the forming of America. King James was hoping, by having a Bible that was for everyone, that there might be peace between these disagreeing factions. And unfortunately, that didn't occur. But as God works good through all things for those who love Him, even greater things happened. We have a Bible that for hundreds of years has touched countless millions of souls. And that's our reminder. God's Word, whatever the version, whatever your pleasure is to read, will bring you peace. It will provide instruction on staying on the good path of right living. And it will become the thing that shapes your life for all that is good. So let me encourage you, among other things, to bring your Bible to church. We have pew Bibles, and you're welcome to use them, and I'm happy to have them used. But there's something about having a Bible that's all yours. This is one of my old ones. I got this back in seminary. And I've got marks and writings and stuff in here. I've even got marks on the outside of the cover. This is where I accidentally set it on fire, not just once, but twice. I really did. The Methodist Church in Pecan Gap, Texas, they have a pulpit sort of like this one, but there's a bigger shelf in the front. And so when I would preach, I would put my Bible on this so that I could refer to it when I spoke. And they kept the communion table right in front of it. That's where the candles were, sort of like that on the weeks that we weren't having communion. And I don't know, over one weekend, somebody had been in cleaning the church, and they dusted the communion table, and they put the candles together and didn't put them back. And I wasn't paying attention, so I opened my Bible, and I read from it, and I sat it down, and I started speaking, when all of a sudden, Gene, the piano player, said, "Russ, your Bible's on fire." And so we got this. And about 6 months later, it happened again. That's this one. This is one important piece of my life. And part of it's the stories that go with it. I will never forget that day when proclaiming God's word lit a fire. I've got my very first preaching Bible back in the office, and it's pretty tattered and torn. It's got a lot of marks and stuff in it. That Bible was a gift to me from a family for whom I did the funeral for the father of the family. They were a very significant influence on me, and every time I read or use that Bible, it reminds me of their faith and what that has meant to my faith. And I bet if you look at your Bibles, I mean, if the stats are right, there's folks with more than one here. If you look at your Bibles, there may just be one that has things inside of it which are really significant. I've got one at home that my mom's folks gave me when I was a teenager, so that years later when I would have a family, I would have a family Bible, because that was important to them. So we've got Pam and the kids and myself in there. And maybe someday we'll be so blessed to add grandchildren. It's not just some dusty old book. It's not just something that we read on Sunday and fill ourselves with comfort and platitudes and hope that fuels us for the week. This is a part of who we are. This is a part of who I am. And all I know is that when the Lord speaks, I am changed. So thus saith the Lord. I'll give you one more Bible quote. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures and the inspirations that have kept your word flowing through the centuries to reach all of creation with your word, to change hearts and lives, to open the gates of heaven to all who seek you. Instill in us, Lord, the desire to not only read the Scriptures, but to learn them, to let them become part of us, to let them guide us through each day. Let them remind us of the past in which you have created and taught and corrected and blessed. Let it be relevant to our present as we consider the days of our lives and the things that fill them. And let it be a source of hope and joy as we look into the future that, thanks to you, is now bright. Let your word indeed be a light unto our path. Amen.